Good morning, and God bless. For those of you that missed last Sunday's class, the pastor has honored me by asking me to teach this class. Years ago, I taught history in high school. I love teaching, and I love the word of the Lord. I'm looking forward to this challenge. I pray that you will enjoy this class and that we can learn together. This is a new experience for me, as it is for you. I have taught adult Bible classes for over 50 years, but never did I dream I would be doing it before a camera and without the comfort and the presence of my friends and the feedback that you provide. This is really new for you, not having Pastor Manning teach this class. I realize more than you that nobody can replace Pastor Manning. I will not even attempt to, but I stand on this. With all my heart, I believe in the truth of the Bible, every word. Truly, it is the word of God, and I will prayerfully study for every lesson and rely on the Holy Spirit to present it clearly for your nourishment and direction. A new day arises, pun intended. And with this new day comes a new hope for all those that believe in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. On this Easter Sunday and next week, we will be speaking about the resurrection. Clearly, the most important event in the history of mankind. For without the resurrection, the rising of Jesus from the dead, there would be no salvation, no eternal life, no hope, no proof that Jesus was our Savior and the Son of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for your presence in this assembly today. We just know that we are badly in need of your grace. We're badly in need of your direction. Help us, Lord. We've not ever experienced anything like this in my lifetime in this country. This terrible virus that is touching people, and breaking up families, putting people in isolation. And Lord, we just pray that you will end it quickly and that you will put the whole armor of God around this church and its congregation. And Lord, keep us safe and help us to do thy will through this whole process. And Lord, we pray that somehow this virus will be a way for people to come to know Jesus in a meaningful way and know how important he is in all of our lives. Lord, we pray that you'll touch each and every one of us, give us the strength that we go through this isolation, this threat of illness, and our lack of work. Help us, dear Jesus, that we may do thy will. Praise you more and more and more, for you truly are the hope of mankind. We will begin our study of the resurrection on this great and meaningful day of Easter. We shall start by reading our scripture lesson found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greatest part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, than all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy word. The point of this lesson is that the resurrection is an historical fact. It is not a myth, it's not a story, but it is the foundation of our faith. It is the basis of our hope, and it is the result of the love that Jesus had for us. Jesus suffered for us the agonies of the cross. Because he took on our sins, he was forsaken by God, who could not look on sin, and went to hell as a man in our place. He descended into hell, and praise God, on Easter Sunday he arose and proved without a doubt he was and is the living Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. While Christians accept the resurrection on faith, it's interesting to note, we do not have to. We have the evidence to prove that the resurrection is an historical fact. Let me now set the stage for the lesson that Paul presents to us. Number one, Corinth was one of the largest cities of the Roman Empire. I think it was the fourth largest. It was one of the richest and was located on an important trade route. The city was only 50 miles away from Athens and had a fondness for intellectual speculation and pride in their knowledge. Paul lived here for a year and a half and founded one of his greatest churches in the heart of Athenian philosophy. The church was not centralized in one building as it is today. There were many groups that met in homes throughout the city. Each group had their own leaders, and many had their own interpretations of Paul's teachings. Intellectual speculation, philosophy, crept in, and many Christian doctrines were being questioned, including the resurrection. Holly's Bible handbook states about 1 Corinthians, it is mainly about certain church disorders, factions, immorality, lawsuits, meat offerings to idols, abuses of the Lord's Supper, false apostles, problems about marriage, disorderly conduct of assemblies, women's part in the church, and heresies about the resurrection. In response to these disorders, 3 years after leaving Corinth, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15, which is the fullest presentation of the resurrection in Scripture. As we proceed with our study, consider these important facts. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical fact. The resurrected Christ appeared before over 500 witnesses at one time. The resurrection was the most significant event the world has ever known. Very, very important to every Christian that ever lived. The great historians of the period referred to Christ and his crucifixion in their writings. Tacitus, the most trusted ancient Roman historian. Josephus, the Jewish historian. Now, neither were followers of Jesus. Lucian of Samosata, the Greek satirist. Mara bar Serapion, a prisoner writing to his son. Let us go verse by verse. In verse 1, Paul declares, which it means to make known to you. I make known to you the gospel. But he has already preached this to Corinth. They are Christians. So he is reminding them, you have received the gospel, and wherein ye stand. Stand on the gospel. They were believers, and Paul is pointing out to them and us that the death, burial, and resurrection is all necessary for the salvation of all who believed. Verse 2. Without the resurrection, you, he's talking to the Corinthians, would have believed in vain. This is an appeal to stand firm in the beliefs, including the resurrection. This was written about 25 years after the death of Christ and applies equally to us today. And it is proof that the early church always accepted the resurrection and its importance to our salvation. The first sermon in the book of Acts confirms this. In Acts 2:32, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses." God was resurrected, and there were all of these witnesses. Verse 3, Paul stated that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In Psalm 22:16, "For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." And Isaiah 53:4 and 5. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Paul then states, he gave unto the church at Corinth all that he had received from the apostles, especially Peter and James. He's talking about the gospel, the truth. He received that from the apostles, especially Peter and James. And all of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' entire ministry. The apostles heard all his sermons, viewed all his miracles, passed on Christ's conversations with them personally. This is important for us to know, because Paul did not have his Damascus Road experience until after the resurrection, as told in 1 Corinthians 15:8, which we will cover later. Verse 4, Christ died as a man. He was buried as a man, and he rose again the third day. Jews believed in rising from the dead, but you were not dead until the third day. Remember, in the study of Lazarus, Christ delayed until the third day for Lazarus, and he stinketh. On the third day, Easter Sunday, Christ arose from the dead as God. Unlike Lazarus, his body knew no corruption, as foretold in the Old Testament. Psalm 16:10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And Acts 2, "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." And all of this was proof, another proof, that Christ was God. Verse 5, Cephas means rock. and was the name Paul used for Peter. Remember, Christ said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church." Verse 6. Before he ascended into heaven, Christ was seen by more than 500 brethren at the same time. Think of that. 500 Christian witnesses. More than half were still alive 25 years later. And in verse 7, witnessed by the apostles whose lives were changed forever. When the apostles saw that Christ rose from the dead, they probably for the first time truly understand this is God. In verse 8, last of all, he saw Paul on the road to Damascus. And that's Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now I'd like to read the conclusion as a quote from Haley's Bible Handbook. "The one most exhilarating thing in the whole range of human experience is the thought that we are immortal, that we cannot die, that whatever may happen to the body, we ourselves shall live on and on and on and on. And we have this feeling made sure in our hearts because Jesus rose from the dead." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We have read thy message. We've written it on our hearts. We live in the peace and in the sure hope that we have eternal life. As you went into the grave before we did, bearing our sins, you forgave all of those sins. God can now look upon us because we are as white as snow. Lord, you did that with your love. Take it with us throughout this week, Lord. Let us share this gospel with our friends, our relatives, our neighbors. Get on the telephone. It's a wonderful opportunity. Witness for Jesus. That's what he wants every Christian to do, is witness about Jesus. Go in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.